I think sometimes he goes like, I wish someone will go. Because Matthew chapter 9 says, the hours are plenty, but the laborers are few. So God of our God, not only is a God of blessing, not only is a God of mercy, not only is a God of breakthrough, is not only God of worship, is not only God of miracles, signs and wonder, but he's a God of harvest. Amen. When we talk about harvest, you know, God loves people. Amen. That's why John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only one and begotten only son, that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. He loves the world. God loves the world. God loves the harvest. God loves the wicked one. God, you know, God doesn't approve the wicked life, but he loves them. He loves the one who sit in the coffee shop. God loves the one that's gambling. God loves each and everyone, the 6 billion people. God's heart is enough love for all of them. Amen. See, God's heart is full of love. God have never gone like, okay, today I'm going to take a break from loving the people. You know, I mean, God always loves people. Amen. And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 28 this morning. And I'm going to relate this to Acts chapter 1. Matthew 28 verse 16. Let's read together with count of three. Can we do that? One, two, three. Go. Let's go. Some doubted, huh? Sounds like the other church, not us, okay? Verse 18, go. And Jesus came to spoke to them and saying, all authority. Come on, read it out. Come on, let's do this again. Verse 18, come on. Let's do it again. One, two, three. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in earth. Go therefore, make disciple of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And everybody say, amen. What a powerful scripture, church. The gospel of Jesus is the only message that relevant and will always be relevant from ages to ages. There's one message that will never lose its power. The message of faith will lose its power. You know, any other messages will lose its power. Now, I mean, there's one message that's still so powerful on the face of the earth is the message of the gospel of Jesus. And Jesus looked at the disciple and said, all authority has been given to me, you know, in heaven and the earth. Therefore, you go and make disciple of all nations. It's what a powerful commission of God. How many of you know the Great Commission is not a great suggestion?
That's good.
It's not a suggestion. There's something about Christian life. How many of you are disciple of Jesus here? One, two, three. The rest of you are make altar call. How many of you are disciple of Jesus? Come on, come on, come on, church. How many of you? We are a disciple of Jesus, and we are called to preach the gospel. This morning, I want to entitle my message with two other preachers who's going to preach this morning. My message this morning is anointed to preach the good news. We are anointed to preach the good news. Amen. That's what Paul said. Dangerous unto me, the translation say, if I don't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, what is beautiful about this whole gospel is everyone on the face of the earth wants to hear this gospel. Amen. Everyone, church, listen to this carefully. Everyone wants a king like Jesus. Everyone needs a king like Jesus. And as a church, we have been given the power and authority. Somebody say the power and authority. To preach the gospel of Jesus. And I'm a strong believer, if the gospel is not demonstrated with the power of God, I believe it's not the gospel at all. It must come with signs and wonder. It must be preached. But this morning I sense, as we share the testimony and as we gear towards, like, you know, preaching about your anointed to be sent out, your anointed to preach the gospel, I believe this tonight, at the end of this service, next 20 minutes, the Holy Spirit is going to put a fresh desire, zeal for preaching the gospel in the house. I sense in my heart, when I was praying, the Lord began to show me a picture of a fire torch. How many of you don't know a torch? You know, like, I know the torch of fire in Olympic they have, right? And I saw that without fire, but at the end of the service, Holy Spirit began to put fire in that torch. And I pray this morning, God will give you a fresh zeal and desire to preach the gospel of Jesus. Amen. The church is only relevant. You and I are true Christians, true disciples of Jesus, when we have the gospel in our mouth, preach to somebody. Amen. Amen. That's the power of the gospel. And God has given us the power to preach this powerful gospel. This powerful, marvelous gospel. I tell you, kings have come and gone. Kingdom have come and gone. War has come and gone. But one message, they're still saving souls. And that's the message of Jesus Christ. Amen. Church, we need the message of the cross again to be preached. Amen. Go therefore and make disciples. I want you to look at Luke chapter 9 and verse 1. How Jesus is an example, how Jesus anointed his disciple to preach the gospel. And I believe this is the same thing Jesus wants to do this morning. Luke chapter 9 verse 1 says, then he called the 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to what?
Heal the sick.
Come on, somebody speak to me this morning. To what?
Heal the sick.
And he said to them, take nothing for journey, no staff or bag or bread or money, or do not have two tunics apiece. But look at the scripture, verse 2 says, he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. I want to give you a thought this morning, church. Each and every one of us are anointed to preach the gospel of Jesus. Amen. Come on, put your hands together and you should receive the word. Come on. Each and every one of you. Jesus gave power and authority to his disciple. You know what? You know, authority comes by your assignment. Then when God says go and preach, when you do that, you know, the authority of God comes over your life. You don't have to figure out a lot. You don't have to think a lot. Pastor, what do I say? You just open your mouth. Amen. The authority comes. You're not, you know, what's the word authority means? You know, Corinthians says, you and I, Joshua, we are the ambassador of Jesus. We are the ambassador of Christ. What is an ambassador of church? Ambassador is someone that represents some other kingdom. If you walk, you know, if you drive through, KL, right? I can't remember what jalan is that. You will see an American ambassador, an embassy there, American embassy. Do you know that that embassy belongs to that nation? If you walk inside, about 80% look like America. Why? You know, the embassy is supposed to represent the nation they come from. And you and I are called the citizen of heaven. We are called that the Ephesians 2 and Antihana says, though you are sitting here, but you are sitting in the heavenly realm. What does this mean? You and I are a part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. When you are preaching the gospel, I want you to know you are preaching a gospel that cannot be shaken. Because you represent the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk or drink or, you know, whatsoever. The kingdom of God is in the power of the Holy Spirit. I have a good news for you. The Holy Spirit is inside of every one of us. And when the Holy Spirit begins to lead you, Aaron, to preach the gospel to somebody, you can boldly say, the kingdom of God has come. Why? The kingdom of God manifests in the realm of the power. Amen. So the kingdom of God, we are part of an ambassador. We are called to represent. Thank you, Pastor Chris. We are called to represent God. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a representation of Jesus on the earth. Amen. You represent Jesus. Everywhere you go, you represent Jesus. Some of you think, Pastor, I look like a devil, but that's what you need to do, repent. Pastor, my life doesn't look like... See, the thing is, you're trying to get rid of the bad stuff in your life. I'm saying you just declare over yourself, you look like Jesus, you represent Jesus, through you now you'll become like that. This side is not so much on fire. Let me try this side. It's that you're trying to fix your life, and I need all bad things, this thing, I'm this. You're trying to fix your bad thing, but what the kingdom of God is saying, no, you look at the kingdom of God, what Jesus have done on the cross, who you are in Christ Jesus. When you look at those things, you know what happened? You become like the thing that you meditate. When you look at yourself and you say, I'm a representation of Jesus on the earth, you'll walk in the power of God. There are more power for that. You see, we are a representation. You see, in Malaysia, we need people that will say, I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus. I, everywhere I go, I'm carrying this powerful, beautiful kingdom of God that's waiting to come out of you. Good to see you sitting in front. You know what happens, right? You're the target. You say, yes. The kingdom of God. Everybody say, the kingdom of God is waiting to come out of me. I mean, Pastor, what are you talking about? So through how does it come out? Here's what Jesus said. When you go, when you pray for the sick, heal the sick. Cast out demons. Yep. Cleanse the leper. Yep. And raise the dead. And preach the gospel and make disciples of nations. Church, that is what each and every one of us are called to do. Amen. You just start doing this, I tell you, the blessings in your life, blessings will follow after you. Amen. Amen. Preach the gospel to represent. We are the representation of Jesus. We are the Jesus people. We are the one that bring Jesus, make Jesus real to our friends. We are the one who make Jesus famous to our friends. You know, the scripture says, how will they hear the gospel unless we preach? Yeah. Oh, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the gospel. Look at your feet, church. Not my feet, Uncle, your feet. These are the gospel faith. These are the ones that brings the good news of Jesus. But sometimes we don't believe that. But I believe this morning God wants to give a fresh, fresh hunger for the souls. Amen. You see, God uses the unqualified. Pastor Rajan said this, right? But God uses the unqualified. Pastor, I got so many crap in my life. I tell you what, just preach the gospel. Holy Spirit will take care of your craps. Just preach Jesus. Everywhere you go, just preach Jesus. I tell you, God will take care of all the things you need to be taken care of. Go into the world and preach. The authority comes when you go in assignment of God. When God says go, you know, you go. I want to talk to three simple ways you can go this morning. How do I go? You know, when God says go, it's not about leaving the church, okay? When you leave the church, don't leave the church. When you leave the church. You see, but three ways I ask the Holy Spirit, what are you saying in this season? God, how does evangelism look like? You know, God of harvest will always show us where the harvest is. Yeah. Amen. You know, God, we need to ask, you know, if you really have a heart for the Chinese people, let me give you some prophetic insight. If you really have a, Auntie Pearlie, if you have a heart for the China people, Chinese people, please go to RNF, near RNF. There's so many souls are waiting there. Yeah. RNF. So many Chinese, foreigners are here. Huh? Really, so many of them. See, that the thing, if you want to become an anointed preacher of the gospel, number one, you need to know, you need to go where there's harvest is. Amen. That's what Jesus said. All right. Let's look at Luke chapter 10. And then we're going to hear a powerful testimony this morning. And then after that, AK is going to come and share as well. And Luke chapter 10, he says, after all this thing, the Lord appointed 70 others also, send them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Next verse, please. And he said to them, truly, he said, harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. God, I pray that our city will have more than enough laborers, God. Therefore, pray of the intercessor's job. Pray that the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into the harvest field. Number three, please. Go your way. Behold, I send you as a lamb among the wolves. You see, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but he came to serve. He did not come to, the Bible says he left the 99 and to look for the one. I pray this morning, number one, Brother Vicky, you need to know, soul is not going to come to you, but you have to go after souls. The harvest is not going to come after you. As a church, we need to go after the harvest. I prophesy and I say again, God of harvest is jealous over the harvest in the city. Amen. We go where there is soul. Jesus, the Bible says, Joshua, go. There's a three powerful prophetic harvest that God asks for Calvary Community Church. Number one, God wants to release a personal harvest. What does it mean? What do I mean by that? A relationship harvest is about to be released over us. A friendship evangelism. Friendship harvest, get ready. The Lord is going to bring people in your life after this that suddenly your heart will go, I need to share the gospel to them. Personal revival, personal encounter. Please, church, don't pass the soul by without telling them that Jesus loves them. That's why John chapter 4, Jesus is our great example. I want to quickly go through this. John chapter 4 is our great example. Jesus, had to go somewhere else, Judea. But the scripture said, put the scripture, guys, John chapter 4, verse 1. And the Lord knew that the Pharisees, number 2, please. Number 3. But he left Judea and departed to Galilee, number 4, verse 4. Look at the word, but. Jesus was going somewhere else, but he needed to go through Samaria. Why? Why he needed to go through Samaria? Because, look at verse 5, go down some more. There's someone was waiting for an encounter with Jesus in the verse 7. Verse 4 has to happen. What it was for? But Jesus changed his plan and went to Georgia because somebody has to get a touch from God. Am I preaching to you this morning? Some of you laughing. A woman of Samaria. Do you know this woman of Samaria is the first woman evangelist in the Bible? She became an apostle. You know how she died? Like Peter, they crucified her. She became an apostle. She crucified her, this woman of Samaria. She was the first evangelist, and the evangelist was a woman. It was not a man first. It wasn't a woman. Why? Because Jesus had to do, verse chapter 4, but I needed to go where the soul is. How many of you want to be a soul winner in this place? Vicky, you put up your hand very high. I'm watching you. We need to be a soul winner. That soul winner doesn't come when we just, the soul winning come when you actually go where God wants you to go. You do what God wants you to do, Deborah. It's not about just coming and asking, allowing. We know. You need to get into this mindset. God will bring. You wait. God will bring after 100 years. No. We are a going church. We are a going believers. God goes with the goers, and he doesn't go with the sitters. God goes. I'm busy. You know why? Luke 7 says, don't know, when you go, don't take anything with you. Why, Melissa? But God says, don't take anything with you when you go preach the gospel. Because God doesn't want you to be distracted. God doesn't want you to be distracted with the life, pastor. No, God doesn't want you to be distracted. The one who preached the gospel must be focused. Must be focused on what God is assigning you to do. You see, the challenge for us is whether we will still remain true to match Matthew 28. God, will I remain true? Will my heart beat for the loss? And I want to tell you, I'm not preaching this message out of just a revelation, but it's my personal conviction and my practice that I make sure that I preach the gospel. I say Jesus loves them. I go to gym purposefully to connect with all these Chinese immigrants. They have a WhatsApp group, to work out in WhatsApp group. And they talk in Chinese. I also don't know what they're saying. But I'm inviting them for Good Friday service. I'm inviting them for Easter service. I'm inviting them for all of service. Whether they come or not, the gospel is an invitation. God so loved the world. It's an invitation. Church, I want you to be an inviter, if that's that word, such word. You know, number one, you need to be an inviter of the kingdom of God. You say, will you come? Can I pray for you? Personal evangelism is what you need to look for. Don't stop at Jaya Grocer and buy all your stuff and not tell someone that Jesus loves them. You go like, hey, Pastor Shaila, get over the shyness. Pastor, what do I say? Don't know what to say. Tell them, hey, I believe in Jesus. Can I pray for you, please? You know, what's the most thing they're going to say? No. Cannot. That's it. How many times your wife say cannot to you? Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying, church? What's the most thing they're going to do? So we need to step out and say, this season, church, I feel as a pastor, this season, we all, I tell you, there's about 300 people here. 300 people share the gospel to 10 people. What happens, Pastor Derek? Do the math. How many people? 3,000 people hear the gospel. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. We need to step and say, can I pray for you? Can I say that Jesus loves you? To your colleague who are going through, hey, no, I cannot sleep in the night. La. You know what it is, a demon that disturbing them. You know, church, you're anointed to know. We cannot afford to ignore that the souls need Jesus. But Pastor, I also need Jesus. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, don't be full of yourself. You know why Jesus said, don't take anything with you. Be simple, because this is a simple gospel. You need to go without any distraction. Anyone will come and say, don't lie, you know, the pastor will do lie, you all will lie, you know, whether you can or not, you know, lie, we are Baptist, lie, we are First Baptist. No, the gospel is for everybody. Amen. Amen. Number one, God wants really a personal evangelism. I promise you, when you talk to your client, when you talk to your businessman, you have to ask God for a word. Tell God, what are you saying to this man? What are you saying, God? And just say, this is what Jesus is saying. And we say, yeah, that's true, you know, that person get a touch from the Lord. You say, you know, say some two things you need to know about the preaching of the gospel. Number one, sometimes we throw seeds. Sometimes we throw seeds. You preach that, you know, imagine you're going to Jaya Grocer, that late girl, I don't know what's her name, huh? What's her name, Jeff? I also don't know, make up a name. Selvi. For Indian guys, Indian. Maybe it is, you know. You go to Selvi, auntie, you say, hey, auntie Hannah goes to say, Jesus loves you. She goes, like, why is this lady telling me this? And then next week, Pastor Daddy goes and say, Jesus loves you, man. And then AK goes with like a Norwegian, Jesus loves you. Selvi. And then Pastor Krista goes and say, hey, Jesus loves you. Tell you, by the 10 people, something will happen to heart. How come everybody is telling me Jesus loves me? Who is this Jesus? Church, we need to bring back the name of Jesus back again our lips. Come on. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a mighty clap. Come on. Don't discount the power of the seed of God, the seed of the harvest. You'll never know. Number two, I'm not preaching too long. You know, number two is that God wants to release family revival, family harvest. And I have a powerful testimony this morning. How, you know, you get out of your comfort zone and you say, Lord, what are you saying, God? What is the word for my family? And how God wants to do miracles in your family. You see, your family need to be saved. Where do you see this? You know, Acts chapter, you know, go back and read Acts chapter 10. The gospel came to the Cornelius and his family. When Peter had an encounter with God, God says, eat this thing. He said, God, unclean God, how can I eat? God says, don't be too religious. You know, Jews, you know, they cannot eat certain food, right? God says, no, I'm bringing the gospel to the Gentile. And God showed through the dream, Auntie Hannah. And then Peter goes to the Cornelius house and say, today, the salvation has come to your house. The scripture says, Cornelius, the Gentile, him and his household got saved. Church, let's go to the families and preach the gospel of Jesus. One person, come on. Family revival. Whether the best place is our family. You know why? No matter what, it's family. Yeah. I remember standing in front of my grandma's, my grandma's funeral, and I preached the gospel about 100 over Hindus in Bahau. I got the picture, you know, everybody looking at me. While I'm preaching, the Holy Spirit give a thought. Pray, tell them that somebody cannot sleep. Tell them eyes are blind. So as I'm preaching in the tent, people were getting touched for the Lord. I don't do this because I'm a pastor. I do this because the scripture says he has anointed me to preach this good news, because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Amen. Why is it Spirit of the Lord is upon you? It's broken, you know, to heal the broken heart. Those who are struggling, oh, I got nobody, God, please help me. You speak the word, they get healed. To break off chain, to set the prisoner free. Who's the prisoner? Those who are in the bondage of sin. God has given you the power to proclaim the gospel and set them free. Amen, church. It is not a nice, cute gospel. It's a deliverance. It's a delivering gospel of Jesus. Amen. You must be convinced when you speak, something happened to that person. Amen, church. Naveen, when you speak to the contractors, something happened to their heart. They'll give you all your money back. Amen. And finally, which I want to talk to you, which in this season, I want you to pray. Because God is asking me to do this evangelism, which is called mass evangelism, mass revival. Look at book of Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Acts 4:4 says, when Peter preached, 3,000 people got saved. 3,000 people got saved. Another scripture says, 5,000 people got saved. And I want you to watch this video, not the testimony guy, the other one, of how God is mobilizing the church to go after greater harvest. Can you guys put that? That's coming up this next couple of months.
This is the time, this is the hour for Asia, for Pekan, for Sarawak in Malaysia. I believe God is going to do a powerful thing right here in Pekan, Sarawak, Malaysia. Apabila nama Tuhan Yesus ditinggikan, engkau akan kembalikan orang-orang kepada Tuhan Yesus. Tuhan, kami berdoa untuk pergerakan Roh Kudus, Tuhan. Oh, engkau urapi setiap tempat ini, Tuhan. Pada Julai nanti, Tuhan. Tuhan, kami berdoa. Oh, jiwa-jiwa akan diselamatkan. Jiwa-jiwa akan dikumpulkan di tempat ini, akan dibebaskan, Tuhan. Jiwa-jiwa akan disembuhkan dalam nama Tuhan Yesus.
This is a small teaser, right? Bigger one is coming. You know what we are doing next this July, church? We are going to a place they have never, ever had a gospel rally like that. We're gathering minimum 5,000 people to hear the gospel of Jesus in the interior of Sarawak. You know, it takes so many effort for the truck to go in. It's so expensive. Everything is, you know, and you say, Pastor, this is not possible. But when I talk to that people, they say, Pastor, we have never had anyone who come and say, want to preach the gospel. When I went that last year, when I went to Rumah Panjang just to go preach in a small place, and remember Auntie Pearly, we were there, and I went there, and Auntie Hannah also was there. Remember, I went to preach. You know what happened? The Holy Spirit said, I have a harvest for you in this place. I tell you, that's how God leads you. God leads you to harvest. Put you in your heart, put your hand on your heart. And let's say this prayer before we hear testimony. Say, Lord, show me where's the harvest, God. Make me a harvester. I want to win souls for you. Amen. 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 We are going. We are mobilizing. You know, it takes so much effort. You know, the gospel is not a free thing. It's not an easy thing. But we do it. Why? Because God wants this harvest. And we are going. We're doing stuff. You know, we're mobilizing churches to pray. Almost 50 over churches are praying. You know, getting into it. Why? Because God's heart is for the harvest, church. God's heart is for the harvest. You know, and this morning, you know, I want Dilak to come. Dilak, come. I want you to come. You know, I want to hear testimony of how God can touch our family when we are just there. You know, how God wants to use you to touch the family. Amen. Okay, let's welcome Brother Dilak. Come on.
Hey, guys. My name is Daniel. Just to give a context of, I was raised up as a Hindu. My mom and my dad's generation, we are all Hindus. So I was the first believer. So I've been praying for my family for my mom to hear the gospel, to be saved. And I've been praying for my cousins. Since I accepted Christ, you know, my cousins have been talking about me, ridicule, and, you know, kind of like persecuting me, you know, but in the sense of just making fun of me. And it was painful at first, but then I kept on praying. But then I remember this moments where I would have chances where I would say, hey, you know, Jesus have done this. I would just create opportunities. I would not just wait, oh God, make an opportunity. I would just say, God, I'm going to create an opportunity and you're going to move. And I would always just take moments, pocket of opportunity to say, hey, you know, Jesus have done this. You know, Jesus have healed the sick and God have done this in my life. And I remember 5 years ago, we went to Para, right? So we went for a long walk and then my uncle came and he started having a lot of pain, his lower back. And I'm telling you, I had no faith in that moment. And I remember one of my sisters, she was like, hey, you were talking about healing in the Bible, right? Why don't you pray for my father? And I was like, to be honest, I had no faith. And my uncle was like, I can't see, like, I could see he was in pain. And then I said, without any faith, I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And I could see his face just shocked. And he was healed completely. And then when I asked him, yeah, we can give a clap for just to say that for 8 years, he couldn't sit down, he couldn't walk, he couldn't drive the car. In that moment, I had no faith, but the Lord healed him. That was 5 years ago. And because of that, people got to know that Jesus heals. They have never heard about Jesus before. And they, in that moment, they knew, oh, Jesus heals. I have a God who heals. So because of that, recently, a few months back, I went back to meet my cousins after probably around 5 years. So because of what happened, they start talking about, hey, you know, when Dilak prays, God heals. When Dilak prays, God just moves. So because of that, this time I went, the hearts will open. People will start asking me, Dilak, can you pray for me? Dilak, can you pray for me? And for the first time, there was such an open door. They were Hindus. I'm talking to you. We have temples 200 years ago. Like, we were like staunch Hindus. And they were like, can you pray for me? And everyone that we prayed got touched by the presence of Jesus. They cried. They were weeping. I saw depression healed, heaviness healed. And one of auntie who had like hands couldn't move. She was saying, you know, when I knew that you came to Para, I was praying in my heart. I said, Jesus, can you ask him to come? I want to get healed. And I literally felt, the Lord told me, go to this place and pray for your auntie. And literally when I said that, she was crying and weeping. And even my mom, she got saved last year. I was praying for 10 years, church. And then my mom last year, she got saved. And I didn't even share the gospel. God encountered her in a secret place. So, and I believe that God is moving in this place. And I just want to charge church that we don't wait for opportunities. We create opportunities for him to move. And he's waiting for us. Yeah.
Come on, let's appreciate Dilak. Isn't that awesome, church? Lean in and look for an opportunity where you shake and share the gospel. Paul said that, right? I became everything so I may win some. You know, I can win the Jews, I can win the Gentiles. This morning, you know, church, next couple of months, we're going to have so many opportunities for you to go on a mission, short-term missions. I want to show the trips, guys. These are the trips that we have coming up. You know, all next couple of months, we're going to have a booth that you can sign up. We know some of you, you know, you need to go on this trip to get on fire for Jesus. Some of you feel like, Pastor, I don't feel that thing anymore. Like, you come with us, you will get on fire with the Lord. You know, KK is coming end of the month. All these places, there's many more trips coming. Africa, Pastor Rajan is going to Africa. You know, the Pakan trip is going to be in July, where we're going to, almost every week, we're going to send somebody to that trip. You know, 300 ringgit, you know, we can eat a steak for 200 ringgit, we can go on mission for 300 ringgit, doesn't matter. You know, if we can get hot pot for 1,000 ringgit, we can go on mission for 500 ringgit. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. So we're going to create this opportunity. The slides. Next slides, please, guys. Next slides, please. This is how you can go with us next year, this year. You know, all you have to do is just sign up. And when you sign up, we're going to train you how to share the gospel. We're going to train you how to be, you know, how to be bold in sharing the gospel of Jesus. For Malaysia, this is the hour of sharing the gospel and healing the sick and casting out demons. If you believe it, say amen, please. I'm going to get the keyboardist to come up. We're gonna, before we pray, I'm gonna ask AK to come and share how God wants to send us out. Where's the keyboardist? Guys, come. Keyboardist, why don't you come tomorrow? But tonight, this morning, I want an impartation of fire. You know, AK just came back from Cebu, and Christine that's gonna come, and she really carries the heart, fire for souls. And I wanted to get the impartation. As she shared, I want to open her heart and say, God, put that fire, little fire, Lord. Let it become big, God. Can we do that, church? Come, let's welcome Anne Christine as she shares.
Wow, so powerful. Come on. Aren't you thankful to be in the house of God this morning? I'm just so grateful that we can get together as a family. We come from many different colors, many different nations, but we all come together in unity and in one accord because we want to lift up the name of Jesus. Amen. And I believe, I have a strong conviction in my heart that it's sometimes we overcomplicate things. It's about the simple gospel. I believe that Jesus came to set us free. He paid it all. He already did all the work so that we can step into the grace of what he paid for. So that we can step into the movement. I believe that in Malaysia, I'm here in Malaysia actually because I'm believing for a move of the Holy Spirit. I believe that the harvest is ripe here. I believe that God is about to do something so powerful in this nation, in this area of the world. Do you believe that, church? I believe that. I believe that this is the time. And I believe that we are called to go out into all the areas, all the spheres in our life. You know, in Psalms, I just quickly want to share, in Psalms 67, from verse 1 to 2, it says, God, be merciful and gracious to us, and bless us, and cause your face to shine upon us, that your way may be known upon the earth, your saving power among all nations. You know, we come here, and we believe for the favor of God, amen? We believe for God, we just sang it earlier, that his face will shine upon us, that we will see an outpouring of his Spirit in our families, in our lives. But do you know that it doesn't stop there? It doesn't stop with your life. Actually, his face shines upon you so that you can go. Like we've been studying Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for your light has come. This is the time and hour for us to arise and shine. Do you know that it's not just saying like some people, you can try to shine a bit brighter, you can go. No, it says as a command, arise and shine, for your light has come. You know, we're called not to have that light hidden under a basket. We're called to shine bright and boldly for Jesus. And I believe we're living in a time where God is asking us, will we be so set apart that the world sees Jesus in our lives? That the world will become to recognize and know him as their Lord and Savior. And if we want to see everyone saved, guess what? We need all hands on deck. We cannot, no longer can we just depend on the evangelist or the pastor or the missionary to fulfill the calling of God to see souls saved. We need all hands on deck so that we can together see people get saved. You know, I really believe that there's some people that other people cannot reach. You know, if there's someone, I just got to know someone a few weeks ago, someone who's in the doing like boxing and stuff from Sabah, is it? From Sabah? Yeah. And he is doing these things. And I'm like, I went to see and I was just like, this is next level. Like these people are intense. But you know what? The pastor will probably not be able to relate to that person, those people that are usually going into gangs and all these different groups. But who has access? It's someone on fire with the Holy Spirit going there and discipling them, being like them, who has a testimony of how God saved them in that place. I believe that God is looking for you and I to walk into the different places in society, in your workplace. You know that my prayer, I've worked in many different jobs, and my prayer was always the same going there. I said, Lord, let there be an encounter. Let my heart, and my answer is yes, God. I believe that this morning God is asking, will you just simply say yes? Because when we say yes, he's going to take us on an adventure. And when you go to your workplace, and you see someone, like we just heard, someone with back pain or something. How many of you know that God is just looking for your yes? Or saying, he's looking, will she go? Will he go? Will he say, take a risk. Get out of that comfort zone. You know, Jesus didn't die on the cross so that we as a church can just sit here comfortably and be in our comfort zone. Do you know that I love sharing the gospel, but do you know that it's very out of my comfort zone? You know, I would much rather prefer to be, I'm a home person, I'm a family person, I love being at home with my family, yet God has called me to go to nations. And he calls me to go to nations, not because of my ability, not because of what I can do, but he is looking just for a yielded heart that's saying, Lord, I say yes. No matter what, my heart says yes to you. I believe that God is just knocking on the door of our hearts. You know, salvation is not just, it's just the entryway of walking in the gospel. Saying yes to Jesus requires our everyday going to your workplace, saying, God, use me. What are you saying? Send me to the one. In Luke chapter 15, there's the story of how Jesus says, he tells this parable where there's 99 sheep and there's one sheep that's gone lost. And he goes after the one to find the one. What if our prayer is actually, God, let me find the one today. Who's that one person today that I'm meant to just love on? You know, earlier this week, I went to a shop. I was getting my nails done, actually. And I was sitting there. And I love getting my nails done. You know why? Because the person is forced to sit there and listen to you. You're forced to have a conversation. Same if you go to the hair salon. Like, people, they're there. And they're there to serve you. So they have to listen to what you have to say. And there was this Filipino lady. And she, I just asked her questions. How many of you know it's a simple gospel? It's not... People are not projects. People are there to encounter the love of God. If we catch God's heart, catch his gaze, we'll begin to walk in greater miracles, walk in greater authority, and we'll see many people come to know Jesus. But I was telling her, I was just asking her questions about her life, how she ended up in Malaysia. And of course, she was asking the same about me. And so we were just having a conversation. And I asked her about her family. And she, at that point, already knew I was a Christian. And she said, actually, my family's a Christian. All my family's a Christian. And I said, what about you? Why? What happened? And she said, I don't know. I'm on a journey of discovering. I don't know if... what God is real. I believe there's a higher power. And in that moment, I knew I could either just let it go and just say, oh, okay. Or God is looking for people that say, this is a great opportunity. Now you share the gospel. Now you share what Jesus has done in your life. So I began to just share with her. You know, I told her my testimony. I told her how I used to be so filled with fear, how I used to have suicidal thoughts. And I just begin to share. And she's wearing this mask and I just see tears flooding her eyes. And she just said, like, that's, wow, that's amazing. God did that for you. I was like, yeah, he did that. And he wants to do the same for you. And I'm going to go back there and just, I'm going to invite her to the Good Friday service. And God is just looking for people that will say, hey, do you know that you're so loved? That you were bought with a price? Do you know that God has a plan for you? Because the world is looking for people that have hope. The world is looking for people that are filled with the hope and the joy and the peace of the Lord. Because there's a dying world out there. And we cannot just be contained into these four walls. Amen? We cannot be just in these four walls. Because the church in action looks like going out of their comfort zone. Church in action looks like going out and actually stepping in. Don't just wait for an announcement to come to go on the missions trip. That's all good. Don't just wait for that. But actually, what would it look like if you live every day aware that Jesus wants to encounter someone today? God wants to encounter those people more than you do, actually. If you would just say yes, you'll say, God, this morning I wake up. What do you have for me today? What? Sometimes we get so fixed on me, myself, and I that we don't look around us and we don't pay attention to the people around us. It's good when God comes and meets us, but his face shines upon us so that the nations will be saved, so that the people around us will have the same encounter with the same Jesus. So I believe that God is looking for our yes. He's asking, who will go? In Isaiah, I believe it's in chapter 6, where God says, who will I send? And Isaiah answers, here I am, Lord, send me. I believe that God is looking for people that will respond to his invitation. Because God can save everyone in one day if he wanted to. But he's looking for you and I to co-labor with him. That it's not about just God doing the work. No, God wants to co-labor with us so that we can see a mighty harvest. So we can bring in the harvest. You know, we share the inheritance of Jesus. So everything that Jesus walked in, we walk under an open heaven where we get to walk in the same things that Jesus did. If we are aware of that, our everyday is going to change. The the way we live our lives is going to change. He says, go and I will be with you. Sometimes we're waiting, God, I'm ready, but like, send me, and we just stay stuck in one place. But God sometimes is looking for people that will step over the line and dare to trust God that he's going to show up and say, Lord, I will go, I'm going to speak to this person, I'm going to see this person healed, and then you're going to see the power of God come. Because the power of the Holy Spirit is what empowers us to win. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit empowers us to go beyond our comfort zone. No one in the Bible or today, I've never seen anyone do great things for God who stayed in their comfort zone. I've never heard of someone who's done mighty works of the gospel and seen people saved that hasn't had to go out of their comfort zone and take risk. I believe that God is calling on us this morning and saying, will you say yes? It's very simple. It will cost us a lot sometimes, but it's very simple because Jesus paid the price for us. So we get to walk in the finished work of the cross. We get to walk in the finished work of Jesus, that everyone who believes in him will be reconciled to God. That should be the heartbeat. So I just want everyone to stand. This is a time for harvest, church. This is harvest time in the church of God. We need to get out. If you are complaining that nobody is coming to know Jesus, if you're complaining about your coworkers not being very Christ-like, guess what? You need to start showing up at your workplace, and you need to begin believing for a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit wherever you are. You need to dare to dream big with God. You need to dare to trust God at his word. You need to start believing that the finished work of the cross is enough. That there's nothing you can add to it. There's nothing you can take away from it. But it is finished. Jesus paid it all so that you and I can step into the freedom. That there will be no more fear of man. I just break off. If you're sitting here and you're thinking, I am disqualified. I am not enough. I don't know enough. Right now, the Lord wants to break that off of you. He wants to break it off. And he's beginning to say, I'm not looking for your qualification. I am looking for your yes. I am looking for your yielded yes to me. You know, in Galatians, I believe it says, I don't know if I wrote it here, but it says there's now no Gentile, nor Jew, nor slave, nor free, no man, nor woman, but everyone is called into the finished work of the cross. Everyone's called to walk in the power of the gospel. Everyone. We want to reach everyone, right? So we need all hands on deck. Right now, why don't you just close your eyes, lift up your hands, and just make an honest decision before the Lord, where you will say, God, I'm done with just being stagnant, with just being seated here, with just coming to church and going and caring about only me, myself, and I, but I want to believe that you want to use my life to see your kingdom come here in Malaysia, here in Johor Bahru. Just begin talking to the Lord. Just begin to say, Lord, I say yes, I say yes, I say yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for every person in here. I thank you, God, that right now you will just begin to convict hearts, that our hearts will be convicted of the gospel, that our hearts will begin to be set on fire for you, Jesus. Set our hearts on fire for you, Jesus. Set our hearts on fire so that we will go after the one, and we will not look to the left or to the right of looking at our disqualifications, looking at what we are using, our personality. Personality traits. God goes beyond your personality. God goes beyond your personality. Thank you, God. Right now, if you feel like there's something burning inside of your heart, you feel like you want to just say yes to this call. You've been hearing these testimonies. You've been hearing what Pastor Jonathan and myself and everyone sharing. Maybe during worship, God has already spoken to you. But if you feel like you need to make that yes to the Lord, where He's inviting you, feel the Lord inviting you into something new, inviting you to begin to say yes. If that is you, I want you to actually come to the front so we can pray together. I believe the fire of the Holy Spirit is going to come on you. The power of the Holy Spirit is going to come on you. Don't be shy. If that is you, you need to come to the front because the power of the Holy Spirit is going to come on you. The fear of man is going to leave. The fear of failure is going to leave. The fear of I am not good enough, I am not going to measure up, that's going to leave you right now. So if that's you, come to the front. And we're going to pray and we're going to believe that God, I sense that God is knocking at some of your hearts and you can feel it and you don't really know what it looks like, and that's okay. You don't know what it looks like, but that's okay. Some of you, you're called to other nations. God is just looking for your yes. God is looking for your yes. Just begin to say yes. Just begin to say yes. Say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Send me. Here I am. Send me. Send me to the nations. Send me in my workplace. Send me in my neighborhoods. Amen. Send me at the grocery store. Send me to the people around me. Send me to the mamak shop. Send me to these places, God. Let me not see beyond the person in front of me. Help me to see the one. Help me to stop for the one, because God's love for you is flooding you right now. I feel like some of you are just getting this overwhelming sense of love of the Lord, and He's filling you with His love so that you will have the ability to say yes to the one in front of you. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Shenda Rabba Baba. Let's go into worship. Yeah.
And I will live to carry your compassion, to love a world that's broken, to be your hands and feet. And I will give with the life that I've been given, to go beyond religion, to see my world be changed. And I will live to carry your compassion, to love broken, to be your hands and feet. And I will give with the life that I've been given, to go beyond religion, to see this world be changed. And I will live.
Come on, let's just worship the Lord.
Carry your compassion.
What an awesome presence of the Lord.
To love a world that's broken.
Before we go, come on.
Be your hands and feet.
Just worship the Lord this morning before we go. Come on.
And I will live with the life that I've been given, to go beyond religion, to see this world be changed by the power of your name. By the power of your name.
The power of your name. What a presence of the Lord. Every eyes lift, every hands lifted up this morning. I believe all of us are being anointed by the Holy Spirit. Can you just do me a favor, church? Just lift both your hands to the Lord. I want to pray for the presence of God, for the impartation, for the heart, for souls to be released over you. That when you walk out from this place, that you will burn with the message of the gospel of Jesus, the pure, unstained gospel of Jesus. Father, I pray over your people this morning. Each and every one of us, we make a commitment before the Lord. This week, Lord, let our mouths speak the name of Jesus. That we will preach the gospel of Jesus. Father, I pray for release of your anointing over your people right now. In Jesus' mighty name, let the power of God just come on them. Come on, just take a moment and begin to pray in the Spirit. Can you do that? Just 30 seconds, church. Come on, pray in the Spirit. As we close the service, just pray in the Spirit. Come on, everybody, just pray in the Spirit for the fire of God. We're going to end the service soon. We're going to take communion. I sense God wants to impart with a fresh fire. Someone, God is setting you up this way for you to share the gospel. Someone at the grocery store. Someone at the car park. At your workplace. Maybe a phone call. That someone the Holy Spirit will tell you to call. Some of your friends, all friends, God will remind you the names. That you're going to bring them to church. You will go where God is asking you to go this way. Your heart will burn with the fire. I want you to pray this prayer. God, give me a compassion for the lost. Come on, church, before we go, pray this prayer. Lord, give me a compassion for the lost. Amen. Give me a compassion for the lost. I want to be the feet and the hands of Jesus. I want to be the feet and the hands of Jesus. Thank you, God. Father, we thank you for your presence, God. Lord, as we come to the closing of your service, God, we pray for such an oil of the Holy Spirit to rest on your people, God. Bless your people as they go from this place, God. Let them carry the fire from this house to the lunch places and everywhere, God. Lord, even as we come next week, Lord, we'll bring somebody to the church, Father. Bless your people as they go from this place. Let your hand upon be upon them. Protect them, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, and everybody say, Amen. Amen. God bless you, church.